Welcome, everybody, to the Better Buds podcast. I am really, really excited to be doing this. It's something that I thought about and kind of dreamed of doing for quite some time. I am probably no better than anybody else for these things. I'm a hugely passionate sports fan, hugely passionate sports betting fan. And I'm really excited to have some supporters on here. We're going to have some great guests in the weeks to come. We have a great guest today. We're going to be talking all things Selena, which we'll get into here in a second. Really excited about that. We'll morph that into UFC London this weekend and through some additional events coming up. We're going to talk about the NFL seasons right around the corner. Really excited for that. I do an exercise every year before the NFL season where I go game by game of the NFL schedule. And without any preconceived favorites or anything like that, I like to just go through game by game and see where the teams fall and the records fall and then kind of simulate it myself. So I'll talk about some of my predictions there and then just a couple of things that are going into the weekend. So thank you all for joining us. Really excited about this. How did we get here? You know, why did I finally make this decision to do this? And why am I so grateful for you all to join me is, like I said, I've just been a sports nut my entire life. Those who can't do typically talk about it. And outside of maybe the golfing realm or some lazy man sports, I wasn't any type of all-state athlete, but I literally find sports anywhere I can. I'm not much of a TV series show follower or anything like that. I can never get into them. I just turn it on whatever sports is going on. So I've had this dream talking about, you know, sports betting, sports commentary, all that type of stuff. And quite frankly, if I hear some of the idiots that we have on TV that can get paid an exorbitant amount of money for this, I'm in for just embarrassing myself, if nothing else, for an hour. So that's where we're at right now. I'm really excited to do this probably once a week, sink or swim. But we're going to be excited to have some additional guests. We're going to be talking bets. We're going to make you guys some money, you guys and gals some money. And we're going to talk a little technology, AI, cryptocurrency, things of that nature. And that sort of blends me into where we're going to get this started today. I am excited to have a representative from the Selena AI project. Michael is joining us. He is going to talk to us today about Selena AI. It's a project that I have just been so excited to be, slightly involved with and just at least following, to a certain extent. And it's been really exciting right now, you know, through the UFC predictions and just seeing the community grow and grow every day. So I wanted to start by doing that. This is some impressive stuff that Michael and the Selena project team are working through. So I wanted to take the opportunity to kind of give it to you all because I think this is some exciting stuff. So Selena AI, Michael, how are you today? Thanks for joining the Better Buds podcast.
Hey, I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me. And I got to preface this with just saying this is not financial advice as the Twitter handle says. So
yeah, we're gonna start our first bet, it's gonna be the over under on the amount of times that we say hashtag not financial advice. So I love it. So Michael, we're talking Selena AI, and I know everybody wants to get into the picks. I know everybody wants to get in, you know, making some dollar bills and all that good stuff. But let's start with where this all came from. You know, this is something unique, something different. Not to say that predictive modeling or sports betting is new, but certainly the vantage point in which you're bringing it to us is definitely new. So why don't you just start by just introducing Selena AI? What gave you the thoughts? You know what I mean? Where did you come from to where you are now?
Yeah, fantastic. So Selena AI, Selena stands for Socially Engineered Linguistic Analysis. And the core of the project, you know, I was looking at all the things that were happening in the world, especially here in the U.S., all the gun violence, all the community violence. And, you know, anytime something happens, you usually hear, you know, about how somebody was posting on social media about it, you know, first, and maybe the police knew about it, maybe they didn't. But whatever the case may be, if especially when they did know about it, nothing was done. You know, they're like, well, we didn't know if it was a credible threat, and all those things. And I was thinking, you know, there's got to be a solution. Here we are. We're in an age where there's so much information online. People are literally saying online when they're going to do something, and then something bad happened. And there had to be a stopgap in that. So that was where the idea for Selena came on. From the start, she originally was just like a Twitter scraping bot. And essentially, you know, she was going on scraping all the Twitter data. But once I had all that, then I was like, okay, well, what are we going to do with this? And transitioned that into some of the other predictive analytics that I was running for some other projects. I started combining that with some linguistic filters that I've worked on a project maybe 5-6 years back. And that in itself is some really interesting deep dive stuff. But now I had all this social media data, and I was able to balance it against these linguistic filters and start producing some of these, you know, prediction numbers on what this bot, essentially what this model was going to, you know, was kind of predicting what was going to happen. But I really had no way of validating it to start off with. And, you know, I really don't want to start off with validating on whether or not, you know, a school is going to get shot up. That's not the place I want to start this at, obviously. So I was looking back at some other things along the way. And another project I was involved with maybe 10 years back was this thing called HQ Sports. And, you know, we've probably all heard of IQ, you know, intelligence quotient, and EQ, your emotional, you know, intelligence, emotional quotient. And HQ was more the human quotient. It was the human element. And that was a sports generated idea. And essentially, you know, if you have, you know, two teams and one of them obviously is a heavy favorite, the other one is the underdog, you know, what makes the underdog win is because the favorite overlooks that person or that team. You know, is there, you know, something happened to the quarterback, the wide receiver, whatever the case may be. And so, you know, it was a matter of trying to identify what the HQ was of why an underdog would win in a situation like that. Back then, I didn't have the access to the technology that I have now. Social media wasn't nearly as prevalent as it is now. Athletes weren't on social media like they are now. So the natural progression to test my linguistic model for the socially engineered piece of the whole thing was to test it on sports, because, you know, most athletes are out there and they're always posting something. So in addition to what they're posting, what they're saying, how they're saying it, the context that they're using it, where they're at when they're posting it, what they're liking, who's retweeting it, and all that type of jazz, you know, you combine all that, run it through the filters, and then combine all of that with the traditional statistical data that everyone else has. So if you're going to go ahead and place a bet on, you know, a UFC fight, for instance, right? Vegas is setting, we'll just call Vegas, you know, as the overarching, you know, man behind the scene. You know, Vegas sets a line at whatever that is. And whatever they set that line at, they already have all the information you have. They've already analyzed every statistical metric there is. There is no stone unturned that they have not touched. So no matter how much research you think you've done, no matter what sites you've combined, no matter what edge you think you have, chances are you're not doing anything different, or you still don't have anywhere near the amount of information they have. And then to add to that, they also add in popularity of a fighter or a team or whatever the case may be. And so they know if you have somebody like a Conor McGregor, for example, who's super popular, or any team that Tom Brady is on, who's super popular, a lot of people who may not traditionally bet but like those athletes may then also further put money on those people. So the odds really start shifting even more. So it's really a trap. Every facet of sports betting is a trap. So the idea is to find an edge, find something that Vegas doesn't have. And I believe in her current iteration, Selena definitely has that. And then, you know, we're using UFC to fund the project, We're all self-funded, no community grants. We haven't charged anything for any of the information. We've been, you know, live testing, open and honestly in front of everybody, fully transparent for the entire time we've been doing this. We haven't charged anything. And then as time goes on, as this model gets more and more accurate, then phase two of the whole project is what we call Selena I. And that's going to be a live version of what we're doing with Selena AI. And she'll essentially be monitoring, you know, the social medias for keywords, context, and everything live, kind of like a roaming eye, essentially. And eventually the end use case for that is for businesses. So say you have like a, you know, Google or Microsoft, and they have their global campus, they could hire, you know, Selena AI to watch over, you know, and anything within a 2 mile, 5 mile, 8 mile radius, whatever it is. If there's something that alerts her, she would run it through this predictive modeling that we're using the UFC right now to fine tune. And then eventually as time goes on and whatever parameters that business sets it at, it would run it through their GSOC, their global security protocol, and would alert, you know, whomever be needed, whether they need to put the campus on alert or whatever the case may be. But to go through all that process, we need an accurate modeler. And so, like I said, we're using UFC to do that. And it's been going very well, especially.
Why did you choose UFC?
Yeah, no, great question. So we chose UFC, and feel free to interrupt me anytime. I could probably go on about this forever. But we chose UFC because it really had limited, extra metrics that we had to worry about. Sure, there were the fighters, you know, but you're talking 1v1. You're not talking about a team dynamic, you know, bench deep or anything like that. And you do have, you know, you do have to worry about the ref. You do have to worry about the, you know, scorecard judges. You know, you probably should go ahead and take a look at the corners behind them. And in some way, she does look at things such as the corner, especially if somebody is changing, you know, who their corner team is. But there's no weather to deal with or anything like that. You're really just dealing with the fighters inside the octagon and in their social media. We are already at the stage where we're in full translation. So it doesn't matter, you know, they don't have to be tweeting in English right now. They can pretty much tweet in anything, but we don't always have, you know, some of the discrepancies in the models, you know, between where we've been accurate and where she's had some misses often lie in where there isn't enough data yet. So if somebody isn't on Twitter at all, for instance, right now, and eventually after we get this to a place that we like, we'll expand into other social media outlets. But for now, she's just supporting Twitter in any language.
And you don't have a UFC background and fandom at all, right? Like you have no knowledge, no experience with UFC. So this really is taking her data, her projections, and really, really following that, right?
Yeah, I know nothing about UFC. I think the last time before all this, I even watched a fight were back in the Tank Abbott days. So, which is why I probably like Parisian so much after I saw him fight. I was like, yeah, boy, but, it's been a while, and growing up, I was more of a boxing fan, but shout out to Lennox Lewis. But, you know, beyond that, no, nothing like that.
So, as you get into it, you know, you've talked about, and I know from talking to you, you know, about this project on a regular basis, you know, I've been following for some time now. I've been putting in bets. We have some folks that have also been putting bets. I see some folks who've been following the predictions on here. Some weekends have been really great, and then we've had some losses in there. What have you found the most challenging part of kind of the perfection of this process?
Yeah, I think, you know, expectations first is probably the most difficult thing to deal with. You know, obviously I would have liked to jumped out the gate with a project that was 100% accurate, you know, to start with. And ultimately, to get to the end use case that, you know, I want to have, she really needs to be at 75, 80% or even better accuracy. You know, it would be better to have a false alarm in one of those GSOC scenarios than to miss it completely. So when I see something not come in, I usually like to root cause and see, you know, why was that? And in some cases, you know, in most cases, it's been that she just didn't have enough data to work with. And as she starts getting more and more data on these fighters, you know, as time goes on, once they start getting their second, third, fourth fights in, you know, I think we're going to see her accuracy increase time and time again. So I'd say expectations was probably the most difficult piece. And especially when, you know, in versions one through three, we're on version four now, but versions one through three, you know, it was a million simulations and she popped out a number. You know, this person had an 85% chance to win this fight. Well, in that case, you still had 150,000 times that they lost the fight. So if they lost the fight, really, it wasn't that much of a surprise, you know, because there's still 150,000 times that it was going to go just like, you know, she said it was going to go, just it wasn't the majority of the way. So again, there really has to be even a better way to do that. And while, you know, the professional sports better is anywhere in that 53 to 55% range. And especially if you're throwing, you know, if your units on that, if you're getting, you know, some positive money, if your, you know, closing line values are good, you know, there's a lot of ways that a 55% accurate sports bettor can really turn in some good money. And even through version three, I think she was 65, 68% somewhere in there. I'd have to look exactly. And she had a lot of great line movement. And we post all that transparently in the Discord. So, you know, everything beforehand on Juno. Shout out to Juno. Hopefully we get into that here in a second. And then along the way, you know, any of those line values, we go ahead and kind of post all that. So, you know, if somebody from day one has just been following and doing her, you know, her digitally signed picks, then there'd be no way they would not be in the profit right now. But sometimes, you know, bettors go off script, we go off script, so on and so forth.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know he's not joining us yet, but I'm sure he'll check out the recording. But shout out to @TerpsMike, who's been following them individually since the start, where me, and I'm sure I see some folks, I see some degenerates on here, you know, shout out to D, who like to go the parlay route. And so in turn, I am not up as much as Terps Mike is, because he bets it a little bit more intelligently. But I'm learning every day. I think that's a couple of things that have been really fascinating, some things that you've really taught me. When it comes to sports betting, you know, if I want to have a betting contest, me and D, you know, used to have a 5 picks of the week contest, and you'd basically just place your bets. And at the end of the year, you know, whoever had a better record, you know, got some money. And if I did more research than him, then yes, I was probably in a better place to beat him. But if I'm betting against the house, or I'm betting against Vegas, as you said, or whatever sports book you're going against, man, I promise you, you know, maybe not speaking for Michael here, but whoever set that lineup is a lot smarter than you are, and you're not uncovering any information that they already haven't as well. So I really like the aspect of trying to uncover something else. I know we're going to go into the crypto end of it real quick here in a second, but it was funny when I listened to the Joe Rogan podcast a lot. You know, shout out to Joe Rogan. We'll see you at the top of the mountain here soon. Sorry for those who joined early and heard that joke once already. Yeah, I mean, I was listening to him talk to Eric Anders a couple of weeks ago. Eric Anders, a UFC fighter, former Alabama linebacker, national champion.
And Selena picked to lose, by the way, and yeah, he did. Yeah.
who ranked very low on the HQ and lost his one Selena fight, as per prediction, as you said. But they were talking, and this sort of runs in line with what you were saying, but they were talking, and they were like, well, why do you think a Khabib Nurmagomedov or Conor in his heyday, you know, always won, never seem uncomfortable, never that – and it truly is, you know, when you get to that level, everybody's talented. It really, I believe, comes down to your mental focus, your mental preparation, being comfortable with being uncomfortable, I think is what a lot of people say. So it really has been awesome just kind of following this. You know, you and I talked early on about the term fight script, you know, maybe not having the winner, but how the fight was going to go. And it's been really awesome to just see, watch fights that, that go exactly to the script that Selena is predicting. Even sometimes when the end doesn't go as we had hoped. But so I know you're a big crypto guy, and I know where there's an AI or a technology project like this. There is some crypto and some of that technology piece behind it. So go into a little bit of that and what we can expect. The win-win-win.
Yeah, so for sure, in by itself, Selena AI and Selena I both, they probably could run easily outside of any, crypto universe that they needed to. They don't necessarily, her engine itself doesn't run on any blockchain. It's all privately run. It's all on an isolated server. So there's really no direct connection there. However, I also knew that if I wanted to take this to the next level, if I wanted to make sure that, if a Microsoft or Google or whatever large company, wherever in the world, wanted to take a look at this, I wanted to be able to validate her accuracy. And there's a lot of ways to fake that. One way you can't fake that, though, is if it's all on a public ledger. And so that was really where I was like, okay, well, how can I use, blockchain to make this work? And I have a lot of love for a lot of different crypto projects, but none of them as much as Juno. So that was really once I started getting involved with the Juno community a while back, I was like, this is exactly where I want to build on. And then in the process, maybe give some back, because there's obviously been, you go to the Discord, there's a ton of Juno supporters, and there's no way we would even be nearly as big as we are now if not for them. They've been a big part of it. So I said, okay, well, one, we want to make sure that we can go ahead and transparently, show her results. So every time she does one of the digitally signed picks, we use Juno tools for that. Great tool. If you've never used it, check it out. It's a great way to sign and verify messages, tweets especially. We use it, for this method. How is coming out soon, and we'll definitely be using that and posting our picks on there. And then there's some neat features coming out that are going to tie really well into what we're doing. And then so from that whole perspective, from a transparency, that the blockchain, was a big part. But then I was like, man, well, what else can we do with it? And then they have all the DAOs, and it's a pretty much, an autonomous organization where, all the members of the DAO can go ahead and vote on, can make a proposal, vote on proposal, and change, and impact the direction of, say, a project like this. So then I was like, man, it'd be really great if we did something like that, for Selena as well. And that ended up evolving to eventually what is now going to be the DAO experiment. And whenever you're talking about any type of AI in the industry, one of the goals is for that AI to become autonomous, right? You want it to be like a Skynet type of thing. Now, I don't know if Selena is ever actually going to become autonomous, but for our project, the goal was for her to become self-governing. So to turn that decentralized, organization into something where she controlled. And so I was like, this would be a great way to kind of test her accuracy, because it's all going to be based around how accurate she is and how profitable she is. So if anyone's read the live paper, all the information is in there. I don't want to take up too much time with that. Or feel free to ask in the Discord how we're going to be doing that, the buyback feature she's going to have on there. But essentially, anyone who's in our community prior, in the very near future here, probably in the next 2 to 4 weeks, we're going to be launching out the site token, which is the SNLAI. And then all the members right in the beginning will be getting that for free. And that's how we're going to be testing the back end of the site and the membership area. So if anyone's in the Discord, they're not going to have to pay for anything. They'll still be able to use everything for free. After that, we're going to be basing the actual CW20 Juno token. We're going to airdrop that to a percentage to all the people who have SNLAI, as well as the Juno wallets just across the board. So they'll be able to then claim their version of the token and then participate in the Selena experiment along the way. And pretty much the idea being humanity doing whatever they can to prevent her from gaining self-governance, which I don't think they'll be able to do. I think she'll be accurate enough and profitable enough to stop that from stop, you know, people from stopping her. But that's the whole point of the experiment. We'll go ahead and see.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously I am not, I don't have a crypto background, but it has been interesting to see the steam coming behind it once you start talking that. And for those, I am a DraftKings background. So when you talk about the Selena tokens, I think I equated it to like your DraftKings crowns, you know, where you can redeem for things within the site. I mean, is that fairly parallel, fairly accurate?
Yeah, absolutely. So the site credits will for sure, there'll be Selena merchandise down the road. And you know, you'll be able to use it to access, not only we're just going to be doing UFC, but you know, over time we're going to be doing, you know, golf will probably be next, MLB, NBA, NFL. And so you'll be able to use your SNLI for all of that. You'll be able to earn SNLI, which is the site token again. You know, you'll either buy it with any cryptocurrency. We're not going to accept any, you know, fiat currency for it. It's all going to be crypto. If you use Juno, and we're looking at a few others, you'll get 25% extra bonus on it. If you eventually use SMLA, the CW20, you'll get 50% extra. So that credit token will be used for quite a few things. But community members, honestly, if you have any type of interaction on Discord, consistent interaction, you'll definitely earn enough of the SMLAI to, you know, continue with whatever one free sport you want for free, pretty much indefinitely, just by participation. And that was really important. We didn't want people to be really charged for anything. Ultimately, we feel like the Selena will be profitable based off of the business use cases. Again, we dive into more of that in the live paper, Selena.ai, if you haven't been to the website yet. So for sure. And then the CW20 token obviously can be used to buy the SLAI. It'll be used for the Selena experiment. And then down the road, as we have special events and other things and holders of the actual CW token, will get some extra benefits if they decide to hold on to it rather than sell it.
All right. That is awesome. I mean, projection of the project and obviously where it could go and just what you were talking about in the beginning. I mean, you know, having some type of predictive analysis around, you know, when catastrophic events occur is obviously the long-term end use case, but I'm here for the degenerates that we have. I am all in #tier 6 degenerates making the bets. And that brings us into this weekend's event.
UFC. I think Welding is on here too. He's another one of those tier sixers.
Yeah, shout out to him. Welding.
Super fan.
Welding, we're going to talk about Patty Pimp. I promise. I promise we're going to talk about Patty the Batty. But we're going to get into the Selena picks first. I know that's what people are looking for, hopefully. You know, and you obviously can check them out in the Discord. But digesting some of the fights for this weekend, if you have seen the Discord, you can see that we have three digitally signed picks this weekend. The co-main event and the main event, which is always exciting because you're getting to the biggest fights on the card. And then we have one additional digitally signed pick. I say we, but Selena. And then obviously there is some additional things that are compelling to us this weekend. While they might not be digitally signed picks, I think we found some very compelling things for this weekend's fight. So without further ado, the Selena fight picks for UFC London, #UFC London. Shout out to Dana White and the whole UFC crew. We'll get him on here next week. We're really excited about that. But Tom Aspinall in the main event, heavyweight bout between two great fighters. You have Tom Aspinall, -128. Selena has him defeating Curtis Razorblades, for her first prediction in the main event. This one's really interesting to me because, you know, I really felt like through the past couple of weeks, I was on board. Not to say that I'm not on board. I want to clarify that. But just some very clear-cut data. And I do, you know, have been following UFC for 3 or 4 years now, ever since Derek, shout out to D, got me into UFC. He is an excellent follower of UFC, but I really felt in previous week's picks that I aligned with the thought process. Oh yeah, very clear cut. Love the pick here, even when it was an underdog. You know, things of that nature. This weekend, this Aspinall Blades fight, right off the bat, in my opinion, is going to be an excellent one. I mean, Tom Aspinall has obviously been fantastic in his relatively shorter UFC career. 5-fight win streak, all finishes, all before round three. In his 5-fight win streak, they're all finishes and all before round three. But Curtis Blades and D, if you want to speak up, you know, we always welcome some new conversation in here. But Curtis Blades is an absolute professional. You know, he's 8 out of 10 in his last fights, 8 wins in his last 10 fights. His only losses are to Derek Lewis, who, you know, we know, and that was by knockout, shockingly. But his other loss was to Francis Ngannou. And I don't know about y'all, but if there's somebody that I don't want to get into the ring with, it's Francis Ngannou. Like, I'll get in the ring with Mike Tyson before I get in the ring with Francis Ngannou. So Blades is very accomplished, absolute professional. He is starting to, in my opinion, and I think Selena agrees, that he is on started the downfall of his fight career. So that's why I like Aspinall. But D, I mean, just your, I think you're muted, but Curtis Blades, just an absolute professional, right? Like, you see this, you wouldn't be shocked either way.
No, I think that you always got to take in consideration. It is the heavyweights. I like to see the, I'm assuming this is with the new data, with the chin metrics and stuff that you guys have added to it. So, I'm hoping it at least is, but you always got to take that in consideration with those big guys that get into the octagon. You know, certainly one punch and it could be over in a matter of seconds. So I think you always got to take that in consideration, and you got to take Curtis Blades wrestling in the consideration as well for being a heavyweight. He has very good cardio, and you don't see that from a lot of heavyweights at that weight. So I think you got to take all those things in consideration.
Yeah. And, Michael, I don't know if you remember it right in front of you, but, there were a couple of new things that, I think Selena was kind of capturing and sort of maybe the difference between the two here, but, you know, rate your confidence what you're seeing from the Aspinall Blades fight right now. I love it. You know, Tom Aspinall, I really think, is a problem in the heavyweight division, and I do think Curtis Blades is on the tail end. But you know, -128 versus 108 on the comeback. This is obviously very much a pick 'em, so or close to a pick 'em. So really excited to see this fight.
Yeah, I would say one of the things that, you know, I don't know one fighter from another, so I don't really have a horse in the race in that regard. But to go to kind of D's question/comment about the actual model, version 4 is a huge step away from where version 3 was. So 1 through 3 really focused on, you know, the fight as a whole. It kind of pit, you know, fighter by fighter, but the simulation result was, you know, you could look at it, it was simulating the fight. Now it really simulate, everything is more, all the models are fighter models. And so in that, we've added chin, aggression, one of the ones I like to call punch drunk, and a few other things that are in there. And why that matters is because now, one, hopefully she will be even more accurate than she was at when we back-tested it. We backtested on the 33 fights, I think it was, that she had, you know, posted, you know, digitally signed or not, but had posted, which pretty much meant anything at one time was 65% or above. And I think she was only wrong on 6 of those, though she still would have missed 2 last week. And then overall, for all the fighters that we had data on since we started, you know, I forget what the percentage was, but it was still 70-some-odd%. And so those would have been included on where version 1 through 3 were like 54%, 52%. And she was still right on those. So it'll be very interesting, you know, to see how accurate version 4 is in that regard. But I'm hoping that version 4 stays as accurate as what her back test proved, because then it really opens up things for fight scripts. It really opens up things for I want to do a simulator on the site for you all, so you could just, you know, select one fighter, select a second, and then she'll simulate, you know, that fight for you. So from a fantasy perspective, if you just want to know, you know, different weight classes or whatever the case may be, or if you just want to validate for yourself kind of what she's saying, what she's digitally signing, it'll spit out some results for you. So we can do a lot more with the version 4. So I'm really excited to see. But either which way, even if we have a great week, if she has a subpar week, we're going to let this version 4 run for this week and through next week's pay-per-view. And then we'll analyze all the data using both of those weeks, collectively. One of the things, just real quick too, that, you know, when we talk about the different versions and, you know, one week being better than the other week, really there should be no reason for that, right? What we have maybe in a week where she goes 7-1 versus a week where she goes 3-4, if it's the same model and we're accounting for all the same things, theoretically, you just need to keep all that information as one collective unit, whether it happens in one week or another. Since we don't account for time zones or anything like that right now, none of those things should matter. It really should just be how is that version doing collectively over the span of an entire time. The caveat being there is, you know, fighters may get up more for a pay-per-view than they would for a regular Apex fight in Las Vegas, which would fall into the HQ piece of it. So hopefully she would pick that up when she's, you know, doing some of her HQ scans.
Yeah, and it's so funny because I think after we've had some weeks, you go and you hear the fighters, commentary, and you always hear comments like, oh, I didn't feel like I wanted to be there. I wasn't in it. So really translating that to the HQ end is really fascinating. So that's interesting. So Tom Aspinall over Curtis Blaydes. Back in the day, I used to say stamp it. So we're going to give that a big stamp. It. Tom Aspinall -128 by itself. Don't parlay. Moving into the second fight that Selena has digitally signed. Jack Hermanson, Jack the Joker, against Chris Curtis. Again, man, I wouldn't be shocked if this fight went either way. So really, really tough fight. Selena's taking Jack Hermanson, which is really kind of not surprising per se. I mean, Jack is absolutely a professional. It's sort of the opposite of the first fight where she went Aspinall over Blaydes. Now she's taking a little bit more of the tenured fighter. Jack Hermanson defeating Chris Curtis. This is crazy because Chris Curtis fought on a Selena, correct me if I'm wrong, Michael, but on a previously done Selena card.
It'll be 28 days from fight to fight from her last fight, his last fight to this one. And there's something about Curtis that she just doesn't like. I don't know what it is because she picked him to lose the last time, and I think he won. Yeah. On that other version. So
3-0 in the UFC, he's filling in on short notice, and you know, D kind of always speaks to filling in on short notice. It kind of be a good thing or a bad thing, filling in for Darren Till. But Jack Hermanson, you know, losses to Sean Strickland and Marvin Vettori, who are obviously both very talented fighters. But submission wins over Kelvin Gastelum, which I think is where Selena's kind of finding the opportunity here. Hermanson maybe just the aggression, or excuse me, the takedowns, and maybe getting Chris Curtis into a submission situation. But the W is over Kelvin Gastelum. I think that was a first round submission, and a win over Edmund Shahbazyan, who was again very similar to Chris Curtis, a guy who had a lot of hype around him, a lot of promise, and has since fought some of these more statused professionals and taken the loss. So I think that's where Selena's kind of going with this, and Jack Hermanson over Chris Curtis. But definitely two great fights, main event, co-main event, you know, should be absolute popcorn ready. For those of you who are going to watch the UFC this weekend, just remember it starts, I think it's 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. The main event, or excuse me, the main card, I think is at 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So you get to get up and do what you got to do. You get a little midday fun if you got some action out there. So a little midday betting never hurt anybody. That's what we're excited for. The third digitally signed pick for this week is Nathaniel Wood over Charles Woodson, or excuse Charles Woodson, Charles Rosa. He probably beat up Charles Woodson too. Shout out to the former Green Bay Packers, Super Bowl champion, all that good stuff. But it is Nathaniel Wood over Charles Rosa. Now, Nathaniel Wood, and I'll let you speak to this, Michael. You know, we've had conversations about this. Nathaniel Wood's minus 600. So, you know, by all means, we don't think Selena's, you know, dropping a bomb here by picking Nathaniel Wood. But I can tell you and I have discussed, I'm looking at maybe Nathaniel Wood inside the distance plus 200, maybe even Wood by submission, you know, plus 800. So two valuable bets there that let me be clear, Selena's not recommending either of those. So this is just me not being happy with minus 600 on the financials. So I'm going to maybe look for a different way to make some money off Nathaniel Wood.
Yeah, I don't think the minus 600 is one that, you know, I would necessarily recommend. Again, not financial advice, you know, to play straight up. You know, in the past she's had, you know, I think I'm not even going to try the names because I butcher them all the time, but there's a minus 1200 a few weeks ago, you know, and she picked him to win, and you know,
shout out to Umar Nurmagomedov. Say that.
Yeah. And inside the rounds, he won against Manis or whatever that fight was. Manus. But it went the distance. So you know, she had the winner right on that one. Just the N type at the time when she was doing N types in that way was not accurate. But the N types are simulated in a different manner anyways. Again, more information in the Discord if you have any questions about that. So I don't think this is one to play straight up. But at the end of the day, you know, and especially in some of that tier six, there are a lot of favorites. But ultimately, they're favorites for a reason, because for all the technical analysis that Vegas does, or for and or how popular they are, you know, then Vegas is erring on the side of caution. So it's good to see that in her new model, you know, she is so aligned in a lot of ways with Vegas, with just, you know, a few discrepancies along the way. And it's in those discrepancies that we hope that we can find some good value. This week, we put it out a little bit later than usual, or at least later than we've lately been doing, because we had to make this the new version 4 model. We had to finalize it. But usually we'll be able to knock these out, you know, Monday now, I think. So then at least you'll have the opportunity for some, you know, closing value as the line moves. You know, the question I do get asked when we talk about that, though, is, you know, what happens if something along the way happens to the fighter that, you know, maybe the night before messes up, you know, their mindset for the fight, which right now you're right. She would not pick that up, because if she's digitally signing something on Monday and, you know, they break up with their girlfriend or whatnot on Thursday or Friday, then, you know, it could definitely affect their mental state. You know, but we have to go, and, you know, we're testing everything. We're moving it along. We would put up an update if we saw something like that, but that's really where Selena I, when she is launched, will be able to come into, because her live monitoring of it will be able to pick it up, instead of how we right now, we pull everything ad hoc to run the model. So as time goes on and Selena I is released, then she'll be able to catch all that live, which will just make everything even more accurate. So super excited about that piece.
Yeah, I would be remiss if I didn't, you know, try to at least connect a joke around Nathaniel Wood and Nate Manis, you know, so Wood and Manis, you know, and that one goes out to, shout out to Tim out there. I see you. Scott Green chuckling too. 'Cause Scott Green, it's good to see you on here. Shout out to Scott Green, man. It's been years. Really appreciate the support. So, welding. What do you say we talk about a little Patty the Batty real quick? So, and it's funny, welding. You're gonna want to talk to maybe follow D from now on, because we're gonna give the microphone to D real quick, because I'm telling you, Patty the Batty minus 265 over Jordan Levitt is not a digitally signed pick, so stay away if you're following Selena to a T. Stay away.
And it's a tier 6 D-gen pick at that, so really stay away.
As it comes. But the world wants to talk Patty the Batty, and I'll tell you, you know, I'm a big Patty the Batty guy, but it's funny. We talked about Edmund Shahbazyan earlier. Derek talked to me, D talked to me about Mickey Gall. And I think you see a lot of these folks that have a boatload of hype, especially, you know, he sounds a little bit like Connor. He acts a little bit like Connor. So I think people are, and Connor's kind of fading out. I think people are interested in seeing Patty the Batty succeed. But D, I'll let you go first, and then we'll bring in Welding. But, you know, you're probably the first one. Selena had this picked for Patty the Batty, you know, just on that tier six level. So nothing, you know, nothing with conviction. But you were the first one to kind of speak up and say, Patty the Batty's got a fight on his hands this weekend. And I've heard that a couple of times since speaking from you. So what is it about come off mute and tell us, what is it that you don't like about Patty the Batty or love about Jordan Leavitt, who's won two in a row?
Yeah, I will get to that, definitely. I do think it's going to be a tough fight. And if you look at
it... our first technical difficulties. Goodness gracious. Of course it would be from D. All right, well... Hold on, D. We're going to put you back on mute. I'm going to go... Tony Reality, real quick, and I just muted you. All right. Cancel. See, look, we knew we were going to get into all these. All right, Weldon, come off mute. Give us the case for Patty the Batty.
Yo, what's up, guys?
What's up?
Hey, Weldon, good to have you here, man.
Hey, thank you. It's good to be here. So basically, my whole thing is with Patty, he's a fan favorite. He's pretty hungry. Other than like Selena choosing him, I have a lot of hype over this guy, and I think he can take it this weekend, but we'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, to D's point, this is his first real big test. And D and I were talking a couple of weeks ago. Edmund Shahbazyan was a young stud in the UFC. I think he got D maybe 10-0 or somewhere in that realm, and fought Derek Brunson, who is who's one of those Curtis Blades, Jack Hermanson, just absolute professional. Everybody predicted Shahbazyan to win that fight, and Derek Brunson absolutely beat the tar out of him. So I think you always get to these fights right here. This is going to be a big one for Patty the Batty, and hopefully he can get through it, because I think he is compelling. I would just tell you, in my experience, I'm never looking to bet someone like Patty the Batty or Connor or something like Michael was talking about, something where the line has been devalued. You know, we talk about not having as much information or data as Vegas. You know, and Michael and I talked about this a couple weeks ago. You know, we talk about the edge. Well, you know, somebody might have a 30% chance of winning, but, you know, Selena's giving them a much higher chance. So there's a little bit of an edge or value there to bet. But that only works when that person wins. So it's critical to make sure that you still think that they're a live dog. I just think for the price that you'll get on Patty the Batty or, you know, future Connor fights when he returns, I can't wait to pound, put some bets in on whoever Connor is facing, because – I think you're going to get a much better price on that end. So can't wait to see Patty the Batty this weekend.
I am worried because his strikes are not that good, you know. I mean, from his last fights that I've seen. But I think if he can grapple and take this guy down, he might have it, you know. And he's pretty hungry. So I really believe he got this. But, you know, I could be wrong. But, you know, Selena's signing. So let's see, you know. Selena's not signed. I'm sorry. I'm wrong. But she's still connected. So.
You're about to give me a heart attack there.
Yeah, Mike was going to jump through the speaker there and get you if you gave
I'm
it a run.
I'm so hyped.
Yeah, but absolutely. Certainly excited for that. You know, a couple other fights this weekend. You have, I'm gonna take the role of Michael here and butcher a name, but Makhachev versus Johnson.
I was just going to mention that one. That's the one I'm most hyped about.
Yeah, so tell us about the Twitter beef real quick.
Oh, so I was analyzing the Selena HQ results, and I have their Twitter handles in the Discord, so go ahead and check them both out. But I guess that Mo Khaof guy posted a picture of himself with a gun in the back of, I don't know, the limo or whatnot. And he, you know, tweeted added at Johnson, and I think it's Johnson's first UFC fight. He got wind of it and then started just talking all the smack back to him. But you could tell that that guy was in his head because he just didn't let it go. The next like 40 tweets are all about Mokaev, and they're all like, you know, memes, and you know, he clearly got in his head. So just from a pure HQ social standpoint, it's going to be super interesting to watch that fight. That Mokaev, or however you say his name, is already a minus 500 favorite, so he's probably going to trounce the guy regardless.
Yeah, I think but he's
And in addition to that, he's also in his head now. So that check out their Twitter beef, and then check out the fight, because that's going to be an awesome one.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you know, outside of UFC London, there's a couple of fights. Shout out to Ryan Weinstein. Good to see you, buddy. Some upcoming fights that were announced recently that I, for one, cannot wait for Selena to put in through the model. But and I wish D was still on this, but TJ Dillashaw being announced against Aljamain Sterling, championship fight. Aljamain, you know, is the current champion. TJ Dillashaw, former champion, I believe. And this is why I wish D was here. I think he was suspended for some steroids and had some issues or some injuries, all that type of stuff. But make no bones about it. He is an absolute electric fighter, former longtime champion. So I am stoked to see that. For those of you who have been following Selena for the last couple of months, you saw Sugar Sean O'Malley. I turned back to the Maryland Terps there. Shout out to Tim, old Sean Mosley. Couldn't make a layup to save his life. Fro, you remember that guy. But Sugar Show was in that fight with Pedro Munhoz recently, and it ended after Pedro Munhoz allegedly said he got groin struck and an eye poked. I personally didn't see any of them. I think he's a piece of shit, pardon my friends. But Sugar Show got back on a card upcoming soon against Petr Yan. Petr Yan, you know, used to be the champion before Aljamain Sterling beat him through a couple of controversial fights. So, and Sugar Show is not in the top 10. He has not been in the top 10. I don't know where he's at right now. He might just be on the outside, but Petr Yan is top three. So you're basically getting an outside of the top 10 versus a top three kind of guy. So super compelling. And then two more we have on a fight night coming up in a couple of weeks. Tai Tuivasa versus Ciryl Gane in the heavyweight bout. Tai Tuivasa, the only reason I'm personally excited about that, one, I love Tai Tuivasa, and I hope he wins. But Tai Tuivasa of the fame of the Shoei. So after Tai wins a fight, I think he's from New Zealand. He does what's called a Shoei, where he gets up on the side of the ring. Somebody throws him a shoe from the crowd. And somebody throws him a beer. He pours the beer into someone's shoe and then chugs it out of the shoe. Probably the most disgusting thing I've ever seen, but also entertaining nonetheless. And then because I have Ryan Weinstein and Fro on here, I don't know if there's some 6 degrees separation about what I'm about to say, but Matthew Semelsberger fighting next week on the pay-per-view in the preliminary card main event on ABC, former Urbana high school graduate, on an absolute tear within the UFC. Our high school's rival was Urbana, but we love to see stuff like that. So really excited to see that Matthew Semelsberger fight next week on ABC. Shout out to Urbana High School. We hate you, but we love you at the same time. So really excited about those upcoming fights. Yeah, you know, cannot absolutely wait, especially with the Selena edge right now. I can't wait for Selena to run those folks. We're going to try, you know, and get Matt Semelsberger on the podcast next week or the week after, say if he wins. But we'll see how it goes. We're really excited about that. So I got about 6 minutes left. I want to tie a few things up. I appreciate y'all hanging out. It's been mostly about 10 to 15 listeners. I don't know about you all, but for my first one, I'll take it. So I'm really excited and appreciate y'all very, very much so. But the last thing I wanted to talk about was the NFL preview that I do every year. And what I learned a couple years ago is everybody says, oh, my team's going to be 12 and whatever it is now, 12 and 5, I guess, now that's 17 games. But they're looking at it based upon what they believe from their team. They're not looking at the schedule. They're not looking at the game by game. They're not looking at any of this. And Scott Green, you're going to love this segment. Well, you might hate it because I might be jinxing it, but stay tuned. But I performed my exercise recently where I literally went game by game in the NFL, game by game each week, and just put tally marks next to wins, losses, and then obviously measured how many wins each team's have. Where does that put them in, division winners, playoff seeding? And then I simulated the playoff brackets. Who do I think is going to win? And basically, from there, I try to guess who I believe is going to be MVP, Coach of the Year, Offensive Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, all that kind of good stuff. I like it because it's an exercise where you go in with no, favorites or predispositions about what is going to happen. You don't know what somebody's schedule looks like. I mean, hell, the Baltimore Ravens play the four AFC East teams in the first 4 weeks. That's the craziest thing. I've never seen that before. So I went through and did that and got my results. So I'm going to share them with you today. It's not quite the hashtag Juno blockchain for recording my results, but you all can tell me I'm wrong as we continue to do these every week. So division winners for my exercise. We have the Buffalo Bills winning the AFC East. We have the Tennessee Titans winning the AFC South. Shout out to Michael. I believe there is some Titans love there. We'll give him some Titans love there. I have the Cincinnati Bengals. No Super Bowl hangover. I love me some Joey Burrow, even though I am a Baltimore Ravens fan. Joey Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals win the AFC North. And the Los Angeles, almost said San Diego, Scott. Almost got away. But the Los Angeles Chargers winning the AFC West. I have the Philadelphia Eagles winning the NFC East, the Minnesota Vikings winning the NFC North, Tampa Bay Buccaneers winning the NFC South, and the Los Angeles Rams winning the NFC West. The wild cards in there from the AFC, I will take the Baltimore Ravens to get into the playoffs as a wild card. I like the Indianapolis Colts this year. I love the move for Matt Ryan, so I see them winning some games and getting the Indianapolis Colts in there. And then in the AFC West, I have the Kansas City Chiefs missing the playoffs. I have Russell Wilson and the Denver Broncos missing the playoffs. But I do have the Las Vegas Raiders sneaking into the playoffs. And again, this has nothing to do with I thought the Raiders were going to be good or I thought they were going to get into the playoffs. This is just going game by game. I believe this is how the season will shake out. So you will have the number one seed in the AFC. You will have the Cincinnati Bengals, the number one seed in the NFC. This is a nice little money here. I don't know why I chose this, but I have the Minnesota Vikings as the number one seed in the NFC. Maybe throw a couple bucks on it. We'll see how that goes. I just like what they're doing. Offensively, they are legitimate. I don't think anybody – I know there's some Kirk Cousins haters on here, but he's good enough. And then defensively, they were atrocious last year, but made some moves in the offseason. So I expect them to that offense to perform in the manner in which it should. So going through the playoff seeds and all that type of stuff, I simulated the seeds and then went through the playoff bracket. In the AFC, I do have the Buffalo Bills beating the Baltimore Ravens in the AFC Championship to advance to the Super Bowl. I am a Ravens fan. I don't think I'm a homer. I can say that fairly confidently. I just believe that, significant amount of injuries last year, contributed to their downfall. I think defensively, getting the injuries back this year, I really like it. I love Lamar Jackson. I love him as a person. I love him as a leader. I love him as the amount that he's improved every year. I don't think he is yet good enough to win us a Super Bowl, but we'll see. I'm certainly rooting for him every step of the way. So Buffalo Bills getting a little retribution after not touching the ball last year in the playoffs against Kansas City Chiefs. The Buffalo Bills go to the Super Bowl, and they will be playing against – they're back there again, the Los Angeles Rams. Now, I will tell you, the Green Bay Packers, for those who are upset that I had the Vikings winning – the North and the number one seed. They will, in their first game after their bye, I have them playing the Green Bay Packers, and I have the Green Bay Packers winning that game, not because of Aaron Rodgers, but I believe this year, A.J. Dillon, I know Aaron Jones, but I believe, and I've been saying it, you know, I wish, shout out to Ted, I wish he was still on here, because I've been telling him since they drafted him, A.J. Dillon is an absolute horse for the Green Bay Packers, and I think he makes a difference this year. So, Bills over the Rams in the Super Bowl. Go ahead and stamp that. Make you some money off of it. You're probably not going to make too much money because I think the Bills are one of the more favorites. But I do see that's how my breakdown happened. And when you add those type of results, I went ahead and was pretty confident. Scott Green, Justin Herbert, your NFL MVP. I might throw a couple of bucks on there. Coach of the Year, very first year for Coach O'Connell in Minnesota, so I like that. Defensive Player of the Year, I'm going to go a little bit off the board here. Guy I love, I'm going to go Max Crosby out there in Las Vegas. I really like this young guy. You know, I'm sure if Selena was to look at Max Crosby, the HQ would be off the charts coming back from what he has and just succeeding the way he does. So love me some Max Crosby this year. I'm going to go a little bit off the board for Offensive Player of the Year. I have the Vikings performing well, so I felt like I needed something there. I'm going to go Justin Jefferson has a huge, huge year. Really love that offense. I think it's capable of doing anything. Offensive Rookie of the Year, shout out to Michael. We're going to go Treylon Burks out there in Tennessee. I have been watching him at Arkansas. I absolutely loved him in Arkansas. I think he's totally built for the NFL. He is absolutely a machine. So if that horrific quarterback that you have there in Tennessee can find a way to not screw that up, I'm really excited about Treylon Burks. And maybe where are we at? Malik Willis, Michael, backing him up. Maybe we can get some Malik Willis to Treylon Burks. I'd really like to see that. Defensive Rookie of the Year, Detroit Lions. Aiden Hutchinson, love it. Wasn't going to go too far off the board here. I think this is a guy that, is going to love playing in Detroit. I sort of made fun of Dan Campbell last year for biting kneecaps and all that good stuff. But I'm interested to see if that continues, if they're continuing to buy into Dan Campbell. I'm not sure. I think he's probably not the coach I would hire, but for whatever reason, they were competitive as hell last year. So, love me some Aiden Hutchinson. Comeback Player of the Year seems easy to me. Cam Akers out there in Los Angeles. I think he's going to get the ball plenty and be a real impact runner out there in Los Angeles. So that is my NFL hashtag Better Bets NFL predictions of the year. I think you can pretty much just make like probably a million or two if you just follow all those picks. I think you should be good to go there. So,
All I can say is real quick, just listen to all that. I definitely see the need for Selena to start the NFL pretty soon.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going to end it with a little morality conversation. I put this on here and it's the only thing I had left on my itinerary. I wanted to talk real quick about LIV Golf. This has been crazy. LIV Golf versus the PGA Tour. For those of you paying attention, it's at a separate Saudi-backed golf tour or golf association. There's obviously been an incredible amount of people defecting out to the LIV Golf Tour. And most recently, we're seeing the reports about Charles Barkley. So it's not even just a golfer thing. It is, an entertainer end. Although I do believe that Charles wants to do it because they're going to let him play in the Pro-Am. So if he's going to get paid to play in the Pro-Am, I think that's why he did it. But maybe no more Charles on TNT, which breaks my heart. Charles is a great listen. But I've been back and forth on this, and I wish some of my thread members were in here because I think we've argued about that a couple of times. But I think Graham McDowell said it best. Graham McDowell, former U.S. Open champion. I think he's Northern Ireland, former Ryder Cup member, long-term golfer. They interviewed him, and he basically said, look, I'm not here to vet out every dollar that the tour is using for or going to. He said, I've not vetted out every dollar in my previous lives, in my current lives, in my future lives. you know, he just speaks to the fact that, you know, he's been touring on the PGA Tour for some time now. Sometimes you play 25, 30 weeks out of the year. You're traveling all over. You know, now you can get in for probably less than a dozen events on the LIV Golf. So I just really respected Graham McDowell's explanation. I got to be honest with you. I know some people have declined. But in my life, I don't know that the money I've received in my life, I haven't backtraced all of it, and I don't think anybody has. So, you know, my final stance on the LIV Golf thing, I just don't find it to be as compelling. So that's the biggest problem is I want to see more competitive PGA Golf Tour events. I'd love to see, and if the PGA Tour magically jumped in here right now and was listening and I can't see them, you know, maybe they should take this idea. I'm going to go PGA, no more Ryder Cup. We're going Ryder Cup is now PGA Tour versus LIV Golf Tour. We're going to do that one year. The winner, the loser is gone. The loser is evaporated, no longer existing. We can have like a Rocky versus Drago fight, and you know, for world domination. So I'm in for that. It's 5:05. This has been really fun for me, y'all. You all, for some reason, listening to me just talk, which if you know me in real life, you probably do that on a regular basis anyways. But we got some decent engagement this week. We're going to continue to do it. Fro and Ryan, if you can find me Matthew Semmelsberger to join next week or in the coming weeks, we're going to get it done. I believe next week we're going to have Dr. Asbury from the dermatologist realm, close connection to Dr. Pimple Popper, Dr. Sandra Lee. And we're going to talk some sports. We're going to talk some bets. We're going to talk life. That's where Better Buds came from. We had Better Bets. You know, every best bets is so cliche. So if you have best bets, we have Better Bets. But then we went into Better Buds because, you know, life, my friends, my family, this community, the folks who support, you know, we refer to them affectionately as buds. So we're going Better Buds. So I really appreciate y'all joining this week. You know, if you're betting this weekend, you know, good luck to all the bets you have. I'm sure they're great bets. Just make sure that when you get the chance, you make them your better bets. And we'll see you next week. Thank you all so very much. I don't know how to end this, but so there might be some awkward silence, but we appreciate it. Thank y'all.
Yeah, thank you, Cheese. It was great.